Did it already. You weren't here? All right. She wants to do it. So everybody do what Anna says. Simon says, ready? Said, this is my Bible. I am what God says I am. I have what God says I have. I can do what God says I can do. Today I will receive the incorruptible, ever living, never changing, Holy Ghost power, Word of God, and I'll be changed in Jesus' name. If you agree, shout amen. Woo! All right. Now open up to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Now we start church. Now Anna can receive from heaven. All right, so let's see. I got 3 weeks, I think, right? Then I'm gone to Greece, and then Brian and John are preaching. So I'm going to spend the next couple weeks on this one topic, if you don't mind. It's on the bloodline, on the blood of Jesus. There is actually not enough teaching and preaching on the blood of Jesus, I believe. And I'll say this, from cover to cover, this is a bloody book. I know it sounds a little morbid, but this is a bloody book. This book is all about the blood. From the beginning to the end, it's about the blood of Jesus. There's blood everywhere in this book. In the very beginning, remember when Adam and Eve had sinned, God covered them with skins. So if you cover somebody with skins, you have to kill an animal. When you kill an animal, blood is spilled. So from the very beginning, you see blood. And all throughout the Bible, you see blood. God told them in the Old Testament, the sacrifices need to be covered with blood. The Passover had to be covered with blood, right? Then you get Jesus on the cross, and his blood was spilled. You know, he could have just suffocated and died, but no, God had to make sure that his blood was spilled. And there's blood all over this whole Bible, and we don't really grasp the significance and the power of the blood of Jesus. So I want to spend a couple of weeks really digging deep, saying things probably never heard of before. But 1 Peter chapter 1, and I ain't making this stuff up, it's all here. 1 Peter chapter 1, you there? All right, verse 18, it says this, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood, say precious blood, precious blood of Christ. Notice he says it's precious. As a lamb, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. And of course, 2 Corinthians 5:17, we know that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. Amen? Amen? So we're talking about the precious blood of Christ. Now in 1973, I don't know how many of you remember or were born then, there was a racehorse called Secretariat. Anybody remember that? The racehorse called Secretariat, you heard of it? Okay. I wasn't born then, but I remember, you know, I heard stories. Janice would tell me stories of Secretariat. But there's a... That was a good one? Oh, man. She's going to knock you out. 1973, there was a racehorse called Secretariat. Secretariat had won the Preakness, the Belmont, and the Kentucky Derby. It won what is called in horse racing the Triple Crown. And the Triple Crown is not easy to win, and it's the first time, I think, was in 25 years that a horse had ever won it. Now, the thing about Secretariat is that sets it apart from every other racehorse is that it broke every single record. It was the fastest horse, they say, that has ever lived and ever run a race. Now, Secretariat, after that race, because it was a thoroughbred, so what happens is when there's a horse of that stature, of that magnitude, every other horse owner wants to take their females and breed with Secretariat so they can pass the bloodline down because they want in their horses what is in Secretariat. And so a one-time breeding chance with Secretariat cost them $500,000. Talk about an expensive one-night stand. $500,000 to spend one chance to breed with Secretariat, because the hopes is that bloodline would pass down and you would have a champion racehorse. Now, fast forward to 2015. I was alive then. 2015, three years ago, there's a racehorse called American Pharoah. American Pharoah was a fifth generation grandson of Secretariat. American Pharoah won the Triple Crown, the Preakness, the Belmont, and the Kentucky Derby, and went on to win the Breeders' Cup, which has never been done before. The first time in horse race history, and they call it a Grand Slam. The first time in history that a horse did that. Now, there were reporters that have said, as they looked at American Pharoah as it was running, that it exhibited it the exact same characteristics, traits, running color, everything about American Pharoah, they said, goes back to Secretariat. Because it was in the bloodline. The bloodline of a racehorse is so important that they call it a pedigree. They actually have papers that go along with it to declare this bloodline is the bloodline of a champion. Jesus came and instituted a bloodline into the human race that is of champion blood, of victorious blood, of blood like no other. Amen? His blood is pure, holy, precious, and because we're in His bloodline, when you get saved and accept Christ, you now by faith are in His bloodline, not in Adam's bloodline. Now, I want you to think about this. So for five generations, the bloodline of Secretariat still had enough power to create another champion. Five generations later, the blood was so strong that it created the same attributes in a different horse. Now, archaeologists have said that we are, you and I, everybody here, are about 160 to 200 generations removed from Adam. 200 generations, let's say, max. So we are his great 200 times. Say that 200 times. We are Adam's and Eve's grandkids. 200 generations later. The corruption that existed in their blood has still passed down and is still affecting every single person in this room and on this planet. But 2,000 years ago, oh, that was a good place to shout. Let me do it again. But 2,000 years ago, woo! Talk about folk fake, huh? But that's all right. So listen. So 200 generations later, the power of the blood is so corrupt that it can still affect you and I today. But the power of the blood of 2,000 years ago is so pure, so holy, so perfect, so above and beyond, that it not only won the Preakness, the Belmont, the Kentucky Derby, not only won the Grand Slam, it won the World Series, the Super Bowl, every single thing, the World Cup, and Jesus is the champion of the world. He's the champion of the underworld. He's the champion of the universe. There's no one ever been like Him, will ever be like Him. But by faith, you can partake in His bloodline. Now, I want you to think about this. See, I'm making you think a little bit today. I want you to think about this. Okay? The blood of a champion. I think I forgot. Oh, so let me back up a little bit. Did some more research. So how many of you ever done Ancestry.com, Heritage, you know, MyHeritage, or that DNA test, or Me, 23, me and you, and all in between? Okay. So, right, because people do it to find out their heritage. We've had 45 presidents in the United States. 44 are related. 44 can trace their bloodline back to Charlemagne, to Charles the Great, the King of England. 44 out of 45. Oh, it's a fact. You can look it up. It's a factoid. Everybody's like, who's the one? I ain't telling you. I know. No, it's not Trump. Everybody's like, oh, it's Trump. Believe it or not, Obama and George Bush are related. They're 11th cousins removed. Oh, it's all on, it's, yeah, because there's all this, it's not a joke, it's true. They're 11th cousins removed. Huh? So 44 out of 45 go back. Listen how far they go back. They go back to King James, who we have, it's named after the Bible, the King James Bible is named after, right? King James, they're all descendants of King James, 1600s. Go back to King John, go back to Charlemagne. They go all the way back to royalty. So 44 out of 45. You want to know who the one isn't? The odd man out? Martin Van Buren. Ah, who's he? Who cares? Ah. It was so anticlimactic, right? Oh, wow, who's the 45th? Ronald Reagan. No. So it's Martin Van Buren. I don't know why, but he has no lineage to the throne of England. Now, how many of you know what's going on, right? There's another lady getting married into the royal bloodhood, right, in England. And the only person who can sit on that throne has to be in the bloodline. So their pedigree, their papers, their bloodline is so carefully watched over in England, right? Because Queen Elizabeth is going to die one day and give the throne to the next in line. And unless you're in royalty, you cannot sit on the throne in England. And they watch over that. They have a Secretary of State that watches the birth to make sure that child has been born of royal blood. Well, 1 Peter also says this, that we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus, you are royalty. 1 Peter, look at it. Let's go to 1 Peter. Take a look. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter. Did I lose it? 1 Peter chapter 1 says, verse 9. No, chapter 2, verse 9 says, but you are a chosen generation. Say, I'm chosen. Says, you are a royal priesthood. Say, I'm royalty. A holy nation. Say, I'm holy. He says, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are holy, you are royal, and you are chosen. Why? Because of what? So next time you sin, I want you to hear this. Next time you sin, next time you fail, don't ever say, oh, I'm only human. You need to say, I'm also human. Because your bloodline, either it goes back to Adam, which is all human, or your bloodline also goes back to Jesus, which is superhuman, supernatural, not of this world. Praise Jesus. I am a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Look at this. Next time you're overcome by sin, next time something tries to come against you, next time you feel rejected, next time you feel ashamed or guilt or condemned, you need to stand up and say, no, wait a minute. I have royalty living in me. I have the Holy Ghost living in me. I have Jesus on the inside of me, the champion, the greatest champion of all time. He won death, hell, and the grave. He conquered everything that ever was and ever will be. Revelation chapter 1, verse 4 says this, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and is to come, from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Are your sins washed away? Yes or no?
Yes.
Then if they are, you need to stop saying you're just a sinner and just a human. You are also human, and you sin because you got this stinking flesh and this mind in you, but the Spirit of God, the royalty, the bloodline of Jesus Christ flows through you by faith. He said he's washed us. Listen what the Bible says. God says this, that I will forget your sins and wash them away and forget them and remember them no more. If the blood of Jesus can wash away the memory of God, if it can wash the memory of your sins from God, why is it that it keeps sticking in our minds? If God can forget our sins and our failures by the blood, why is it we can't? Let me say it a different way. We always say this, forgive and forget, right? Well, it's easy to forgive, but it's so hard to forget. God says that the blood of Jesus made him forgive and forget. Yet, we say, well, it's not powerful enough to make me forget what you did to me. Ouch is right. Think about that. The moment you say it's not powerful enough, I can't forget, you're declaring that the power, the precious blood, is powerless. God says, I will forgive their sins and remember them no more. Why? Because of the blood. The blood does not cause amnesia. The blood literally wipes away every record of your sin from God's memory. Hallelujah. Verse 6, that his own blood, listen, his own blood made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He made us kings and priests. God has a wonderful track record of taking losers and turning them into champions. Say, I'm a champion.
I'm a champion.
I'm a king.
I'm a king.
I'm a royal priesthood.
Amen.
I'm a holy nation. I'm a chosen generation. You must keep the blood in the middle of your consciousness every single day. Having faith in the blood means not a one-time thing. Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, communion, yeah, all the blood. The wonderful blood of Jesus. No, it's an ever-present thing because his blood sits on the mercy seat right now and it continues to speak and said, they're innocent, they're innocent, they're innocent. They've been saved, they've been set free, they've been redeemed. The blood speaks in heaven right now. It has a voice. And it's talking about us. That's the power of the blood. The royal bloodline. And when we declare by faith in the blood of Jesus, we fall into that bloodline. Because if you're in Adam's bloodline, you're not going to heaven. Whew. 2015. Anybody remember the Ebola outbreak? Remember that? Ebola broke out in Liberia in 2015. What? What did I say? What did I say? 2015. Someday in the future, in a galaxy far, far away, Obi-Wan said, these are not the droids that you're looking for. In 2015, there was an Ebola outbreak in West Africa, in the country of Liberia. Everybody remember that? Just happened a couple years ago, right? Now, Ebola is incurable. They have not found any medicine that can cure Ebola as of yet. And Ebola killed 4,000 people in that one outbreak. There was a gentleman there who was with Samaritan's Purse. He was a doctor. Samaritan's Purse, everybody know? Franklin Graham's ministry. His name was Dr. Kent Brantley. He's a 33-year-old doctor who was out there as a missionary to care for the patients with Ebola. He contracted the disease. Everybody remember him? You may not remember his name, but he contracted the disease. They immediately flew him back to the United States. They took him to Emory Hospital in Atlanta, one of the best hospitals in the world. And they cared for him. They tried a whole bunch of cocktails, they call them, you know, medicines. And they tried everything to, what they tried to do is give him, so his body would create antibodies to fight the Ebola virus. So it happened. His body then created antibodies that fought the Ebola virus. Now, doctors have been quoted and said, we don't know. Now, he's a Christian. He's a born-again Christian, Dr. Kent Brantley. So the doctors have said this, that we don't know what it was that we gave him that actually worked. So his body it did something, and it started to create antibodies. What an antibody does, here's the cool thing. The antibody does is it's a protein, and it creates a what they call a B cell in your body, a B blood cell. B blood cell, anybody doctor here? No? Yes? Oh, you're a nurse. Doctor? 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 Anybody want to be a doctor? So B cells, ready? When B cells are created, this is so cool. When B cells are created, right, there's two types of B cells. There's a plasma B cell, which is the fighter. And then there is what they call a memory B cell. And these are created. Your body is amazing. Your blood is amazing. Your blood, when it creates antibodies, creates two antibodies, two cells, a plasma B cell and a memory B cell. The plasma B cell fights any pathogen that is in your body. It's the fighter, okay? The memory cell keeps record of the fight. So what happens is that after 4 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks, the plasma cell just comes out, exits your body, okay? Because it's not needed anymore. Once it fights the virus, once the fight is over, you know, you could tell you're having a fight, right? Your body, you're weak, you get sick, you get a high fever, you get nauseous. You know all those symptoms, right? Those are because your body is fighting a foreign pathogen. The moment the fight is over, when the victory has won, the B cell, the plasma cell, exits your body after a couple of weeks. But ready? Here's the cool part. But the memory cell stays in your blood forever. It means this. Next time Ebola attacks Kent Brantley's body, the memory cell pops up and says, I remember this fight. I whooped you once, I'll whoop you again. The memory cell then creates plasma cells and it attacks the Ebola virus and it destroys it. There is no fight. The fight is over. The battle's been won. Your body has antibodies that have already been created and they're sitting there just waiting. Okay, where's the next fight? In other words, Kent Brantley will never get Ebola again because the battle's been won. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus fought a battle. He fought a battle of guilt, shame, rejection, condemnation, depression, you name it, sickness, disease, lack, poverty, abandonment. He fought a battle of death, hell, and the grave. And his body became the antibody, his blood became the antibody, fought and won the battle. And now that memory cell is always there and will never lose its power. So anytime you come up against sin, I plead the blood of Jesus. His blood already fought the battle. He already won the victory. The battle's been won, and I plead the blood. Here's the issue, folks. We always fight sin in our own strength. You will always lose. Always. You can't stand up to sin and win. It's impossible. But when you plead the blood and say, let me tell you something about this blood. There's an antibody in this blood. Kent Bradley. So remember there was, right after that, there was an NBC cameraman who got Ebola. Anybody remember? I don't know if you remember. An NBC cameraman got Ebola. You know what they did? They went to Kent Bradley and said, can we have a drop of your blood? They took a drop of his blood. They injected it into the NBC cameraman. And what happened? Ebola was defeated in him. When Jesus hung on the cross, he took our sin. He took our sicknesses. He took our everything that we lacked. And he says, I'm about to create some antibodies. Watch this, folks. Watch what my blood can do, this precious blood of Jesus. You better look out, because the moment I die, I'm going to create an antibody and I'm going to bust open this grave. Give me 3 days in the laboratory of death and hell, and I'm going to pop open this test tube, and I'm going to be the antibody for every sin, every sickness, every disease, no matter what you're going through, guilt, shame, condemnation. He says, once I rise from the dead, my blood will be an antibody for everything that has ever ailed you. Come on, people, that's good stuff. So whenever sin and sickness come my way, I plead the blood. I plead the blood, the power of the blood, the precious holy blood of the Lamb, the spotless blood that has every antibody, and it never loses its power. Oh, Jesus! Jesus' blood never forgets a battle. Jesus' blood has never lost a battle. Jesus' blood went into death, hell, and it destroyed it, took the keys of death and hell away from the devil, gave him a sock in the nose, and said, that's it, I've won. And then Jesus rose from the dead and said, here, I give you the victory. You plead my blood. You declare my blood. My blood has washed your sin away, everything you'll ever do, anything you've ever felt. Anything you'll ever go through, he says, my blood's got the antibodies. The precious blood. The precious blood of Jesus. Revelation 12:10 says this, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser, who's the accuser? Satan. For the accuser of our brethren, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. What does that mean? The moment the accuser starts to get in your face, the moment Satan says, you're going to fail, you're going to lose, you're not going anywhere, your marriage is crumbling, you're losing your job, your kids are a mess, you're going to die young, you're worthless, nobody likes you, nobody cares about you, you declare, no, listen here, Mr. Devil. I've been saved by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. In other words, you got to do something about it. You got to declare the blood. You got to plead the blood. You got to have faith in the blood. You always got to keep the blood in front of you. Ha ha. Yeah, 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 yeah. Woo! I plead the blood. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood. Hallelujah. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood. This thing is a legal contract. This is your pedigree, that you are of a royal bloodline. You're not just human. You may be also human, but you're also a king of the king. You're a son of Almighty God. Amen. You're a royal priesthood. You sit in royalty. You're a conqueror. You're an overcomer. You're blessed and not cursed. You're above and not beneath. Why? Why? Because of His blood. His blood saved you, cleansed you, bought you back. Woo! That's how we hold this thing. Devil, you got a problem? Read the contract. Here it is in writing. It says, if I believe, if I confess Jesus is Lord, believe that God raised Him from the dead, that bloodline goes to work for me. He forgives my sin. He cleanses me of all iniquities. He heals all my diseases. He gives me the power to create wealth. Whatever I put my hand to shall prosper. Amen. I conquer everything. He said, go and sin no more. How can I sin no more? The power of the blood. Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Every time you declare the blood, the Holy Spirit goes to work. Hallelujah! Woo! Praise the Lord! Yes! Woo-hoo. I feel like dancing. Now listen, I want to pray for some people. The Lord told me this before a few minutes, before we were worshiping. Pray for those that are in need of a job.